Okay. Let's bow in a word of prayer and we'll get started. Father God, thank you so much for this Sunday and for the opportunity to come together as believers and just fellowship with one another and encourage one another. And then today go into just talking about sharing the story of Jesus Christ with those around us and those we come in contact with. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for each one that's here in this room. Thank you for their hearts and their life. In Christ's name, amen. So, what I want you to think about as we start this morning is, because we're going to talk about, and we started it 2 weeks ago, so we're going to be on page 3, okay? Page 3, the power of a good story, okay? So, what I want you to remember is this, and think about, because I'd like to ask for volunteers a little bit later, okay? Think about in your lifetime a good story that you heard. I mean, it could be a movie, it could be a cartoon, it could be a personal life story, it could be whatever you think was a good story that impacted you. Okay? Because I'm going to ask you if you would share that with us in a few minutes. Okay? So, Paige, if we just go back and remember that 52% of Christians, okay, have not shared their faith in the past 12 months. Okay. Sorry about that. I didn't have that open. I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you, Mark. But 78% of unchurched people said that they would be open to a spiritual conversation. Okay. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. How to witness, how to open up to people, because they're interested. I shared with you my experience in New York City. Okay? I never had one negative while I was there that week. Okay? I told you also, did I have people who said no? Yes, they did. And they'd move on. Okay? But no one was obnoxious or in my face or whatever. It was an unbelievable experience. I want to share with you, we have these little story booklets here, and I would encourage you to take them. They're for your use. And I would like to just pass them out right now so you could have them. If you'll just take one and pass them out down, because I'd like to, what I'm going to tell you, I'd like for each one to have one, if you would, please. Okay? I had to be in Princeton, Illinois this past Thursday morning for an early appointment. So I left early. I stopped in Chillicothe and had breakfast. And I was at this little restaurant in Chillicothe. And you know how you could tell somebody's having a bad morning or a bad day? Just the expression on their face and their body language, okay? And there was this young lady that was my waitress, and I could tell after two stops at my table and just watching her in this little restaurant, it was not a good morning for her. And so I just started engaging her in some conversation as she would come back to my table, and I just felt like, wow, you know, and I always take this little storybook with me everywhere I go, and I take it into a restaurant with me, whatever. And I said to her, I said, hey, you know, excuse me. And there were only two other tables that had people at them. So it wasn't like, I mean, she was busy, but she, you know, she had some time. So I said to her, I said, boy, you know, I've noticed that looks like from your face and your body language, forgive me, I don't want to assume anything, but I said, it just seems like you're struggling this morning. And she just immediately sat down at my table in this chair. And you could just tell from her, the way she sat down, she's, you know. And I started talking to her, and I said, and she told me a couple things that were going on. I said, do you happen to know, or have you ever heard the name Jesus Christ? She says, oh yeah, I had a high school teacher that talked about Jesus Christ in his class. And I said, really? I said, well, I said, have you been out of high school? Yeah, I've been out of high school 3 years. And so I got talking to her, and I said, could I share you a story? Okay. And if you open this up, you'll see that this starts out, okay, with creation. Okay, I got to that. I got through that page with her. Okay, I turned the page over to the fall. Okay, and probably got halfway through this page here. And another young lady that worked in the restaurant came over and sat down. And she wanted to know what we were doing. So I went back and started again with her. Make this long story shorter. I had the opportunity to lead both of those young ladies to Christ before I left that day. Okay? I had to go back out in my car and get a second storybook to give it to the other one. But the interesting thing was that the young lady that said that she had a high school teacher talk to her about Jesus was in a sociology class. And he even said, I'm not supposed to talk about Jesus, but I think this is very important. And she said, I've been out of high school 3 years, and I don't have any relationship with Jesus. But, you know, I guess why I'm bringing this up is the opportunity I had, but also that statistic that 78% of unchurched people are open to a conversation about Christianity, Jesus Christ, whatever. I mean, I want to encourage you, there's opportunities. We see it every day, okay? John over here, after 2 weeks ago, and I'll let you share, John, but he brought this, I think he laid it on my little podium there at first, and I went, because we were talking, and all of a sudden it's a $1 million bill. And it's so realistic, but I won't take the story away from you. You share the story about how you use that. John, please.
Well, I use it all the time. Yeah. Ray Comfort, livingwaters.com. If you're not familiar with him, you need to go up on YouTube, check his channel out. He's the guy who does 180. Should be good. It's anti. It's actually the switch from abortion to anti-abortion. And people do that in 90 seconds or less. They switch from pro-death to pro-life in 90 seconds of interview from this man. And he's not always doing sharing the word of God. People ask me, you know, say, hi, John, how are you? I said, pretty good for a man of my condition. And most people who know me over a period of time won't use the follow-up question that's normal. And what condition is that? And I go, well, it depends on how I answer the question on the back of my $1 million bill. Do you have a $1 million bill? Does anybody in here not have a $1 million bill? No, you have a $1 million bill. I'm sorry it's a fake, but the $1 million question on the back, you get the answer. The answer is
you. You want me to read it?
It's your $1 million bill, you really want to know.
You want me to read it out loud?
Well, you may. Most guys do.
Do you want me to?
Yes, go ahead and read it out loud.
Here's the $1 million question. Will you go to heaven when you die? Here's a quick test. Have you ever lied, stolen, or used God's name in vain? Jesus said, whoever looks at a woman who lusts for her has already committed adultery in his heart. If you have done these things, God sees you as lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterer at heart, and the Bible warns that one day God will punish you in a terrible place called hell, but God is not willing that any should perish. Sinners broke God's law, and Jesus paid their fine. This means that God can legally dismiss their case. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Then Jesus rose from the dead, defeating death. Today, repent and trust Jesus, and God will give you eternal life as a free gift. Then read the Bible daily and obey it. God will never fail you. LivingWaters.com.
I have a question for you. How did you do on the test?
I failed.
Did you?
Yes.
Did you continue to read?
Yes.
What about the end of it?
Oh, well, I asked the Lord for forgiveness, yes.
Yes, but did you repent? Do you know what repentance is?
No. Let me
demonstrate. This is what I do know. I said, here's repentance. I'm going my own way, and God says, repent. And I turn around and go his way. Okay? That's what repentance means. So change your mind means change of direction. And come to him on his terms. I'll be praying for you.
And John shares that way. He shared that way with me 2 weeks ago. And that's his opening. I want, Diane, if you wouldn't mind, would you share what you did with the Awana girls this past Wednesday night, briefly with us, if you don't mind? I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
Well, I was asked to fill in for Katie Delagrange in teaching the lesson, the story lesson to the cubbies. So I've got five lessons over the course of 5 weeks that I'm doing, and as I'm doing them, all of them have an evangelistic, tell the story message. So I had asked Mark last week for the storybook here, the children's book, and it explains just what's in the, track that you have, and tell us a salvation message. So I read to the kids out of here, and then was able to, they were to take home one of these and a coloring book.
This is the coloring book. And I would encourage you, if you have grandchildren or neighbor, some kids in your neighborhood or next door to you, I would encourage you to take one of these. These are fascinating things. When we were in New York City last summer, we gave a lot of those out at the sidewalk Vacation Bible School at Brooklyn Tabernacle, and they're really good. Go ahead, John.
How much do those cost and where can we get them?
Let me double check that on John. I'll have to double check on that, but I'll get back to you on that. Okay? Yes, Jack.
How old are those kids, Diane?
They're threes and fours.
Three
and fours.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so just a few things that were going on there this past week. Okay, let's go to our booklets. And let's go to page 3. Okay. You know what, Jack? Man, oh man. Page 4. Thank you, Jack. Oh man, oh man. Okay. And page 4 says, evangelism can use both the heart and the head. Okay. What do we know about a good story? What does it do to our heart and sometimes our head? Okay. Does it encourage us? Does it give us a cause for joy, emotion, excitement? Okay, what does a good story do for us? Okay, you turn over to page 5. Okay, the power of a good story. I'm going to read that first paragraph for you. The latest stories capture our attention through what? Movies, books, songs, plays, and even the news. We invest ourselves emotionally in them, getting caught up in the characters, the dialogue, the intrigue. Why is that? Why does a good story, whether it's through the movie or through a book we read, through a play, why does it grab us? Why does a good story grab us?
It resonates.
Yeah. Why does, again, I'm going to warn you in a few minutes, I'm going to ask you for a volunteer of a good movie or story that struck you in your lifetime. Okay? In that second paragraph there on page 5, Michael Gerson provides insight. There is a reason the great stories persist in provoking our emotions, the hope that life is a story, that all the suffering, vulgarity, pity, and sacrifice add up to something and lead somewhere. Stories are powerful in helping us make sense of life. Let's be honest with each other. Life can be pretty discouraging sometimes, can't it? Life can make you, I don't know about you, but unfortunately sometimes I feel like, life beats me up. If I didn't have Jesus Christ in my heart, I could see where I could be very depressed, discouraged. Sometimes wanting to maybe even stay in bed in the morning and put the cover back over my head, and stay where it's dark, it's quiet. I don't have to see people. I don't have to talk to them. I don't have to interact with them, But we can't do that, can we? We can't do that, okay? We love stories. Let's be honest. We love stories. I used to have, there were two books, okay, that I used to read to our two boys, Jonathan and Joel, when they were little, getting ready for bed, okay? You ever heard the story of the lost mitten? The lost mitten, okay? It's a fascinating story, but it's one, okay? I used to read another story called The Moose is on the Loose, okay? And I will tell you, Joel, our son Joel, who's 23 and going to ISU, but has been living back in our house for the last 10 weeks because of an internship at OSF St. Francis for his work. There have been a number of times in the last 10 weeks when Joel gets ready for it. Hey, Joel, I said, you want me to read the Moose on the Loose? He goes, no way. He goes, I can't stand that story. Because I would embellish it, you know, more than what the book would. I said, well, I'll read the Lost Mitten to you. No way, you know. But the point is, Joel's 23. He still remembers the moose is on the loose. And he still remembers the lost mitten. I still remember it. And I'm an adult. I'm not supposed to remember those stories. Those stories were for kids, right? Why would I remember that? But it captured me. Now, here's the moment of truth. Okay? Who would like to volunteer a story? A TV show, a movie, a play, or something in your lifetime? Who would like to share something that really is just funny, it impacted you, you still think about it years later?
Does it have to be a funny story?
It doesn't have to be. Okay, Mark, go ahead.
The reason the story is good is because of the character behind it. Two stories, real quick. Mrs. Jones goes to the bank. She used an ink pen and withdrawal slip and got out $500 from her account. That's the first story. The second story is Mrs. Jones, at 8 o'clock in the morning, went out to the First National Bank in Washington and made a withdrawal of $500. In aiding her to make the withdrawal, she had written a note that I have a gun, 357 Magnum, it's pointed at your head, and if you don't give me the money, I will shoot you. The first one never made the news, but the second one did. Why?
There's a threat.
Because
there's more character involved.
Yeah.
I think every great story's got, you know, says something about the character of God in some way. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah,
good. Anybody else? Come on. Dave.
Go ahead,
Dave.
Years ago, many years ago, I worked in a Kroger store, and I was putting stock up, and I found this $20 bill on the floor. And that was a lot of money then. This is in the mid-50s. And I put it in my pocket, and about 10 minutes later, it was announced over the PA system that Mrs. So-and-so had lost the $20 bill. If anybody found it, would they bring it up to the office? And I thought about it, and I didn't take it up. And it bothered me for the rest of my life. Now, I thought I needed the money, but I'm sure she needed it more than I did. She was age when she was probably a mother or a wife and buying groceries, and $20 then would have bought a week's supply of groceries. And I didn't turn it in. I think about that every now and then, and it bothers me.
Yeah. Diane, you had your hand up.
I think any good story is made, it is good because of the characters involved. Mm-hmm. There's usually some type of problem or issue that needs to be solved, and then there's a heroine or a hero, a savior, as it were, and a satisfactory, in terms of the movie, I'm a Pride and Prejudice gal. I could watch that. But yeah. because of those things, you know, and the interaction of the characters and how is you know, how is this problem going to be resolved?
Sure, sure. There were, I'm sorry, John, were you getting ready to say something?
I was going to share one about Providence.
Please.
In 1983, in the spring, I went to the Philippines with a small group. And we landed there, it's a 28-hour flight. We get there, it's 10:30 at night their time. We're a day ahead now, we're across the international date line. It's 10:30 at night, I'm lying in bed in the Philippines, which they don't, I mean, there's very few lights, this is Manila, it's hot, it's nasty. Left here, 30 degrees, we get there, it's 89 degrees. 10:30 at night, humid, okay? And geckos are running across the ceiling in the dark, eating these giant cockroaches and stuff. You hear them snap. I'm lying there going, Lord, how you mutter under your breath, Lord, am I really supposed to be here? You're going to have to convince me because now I resisted going the entire time. Everything just fell into place and I wind up there. I mean, has my pastor put me in some harebrained scheme here? I'm 13,000 miles from home. And the next morning we had to go change our dollars into pesos. So we walked down to the bus station, or the bus stop. All the Filipinos see three Americans with our little entourage. And they're going, "Hi, Joe!" And I'm going, "Oh, here we go." So I'm the biggest one, so you get on the bus first, you sit in that first seat that you come to. First seat. So I come up and there's a young guy sitting there and I just slide in beside him. I'm crushing him. In the Philippines, they'll put five people across a three-seat thing. Where there's two, they put two, at least three. And then they'll have their pigs and everything else with them.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there and I'm going, I'm crunching over against him. I'm trying not to smash him. And I go, "Hello, my name is John." And he goes, "What are you doing in my country?" I'm going, "Oh," I'm sat down next to the Philippine National Army because they were under that martial law at the time. And I'm going, "Oh, I wasn't expecting that kind of reaction. I thought he'd be friendly like every other Filipino I've ever met in my life. Hi, Joe." And he's turning away from me. I'm going, So I said, "Hello, my name's John." And he goes, "What are you doing in my country?" I said, "I'm here on a short-term missionary trip." "With what group?" He is not a happy man. And I said, "A little bitty church in central Illinois you've never heard of." And he goes, "Where in Illinois?" I said, "By Peoria, Illinois." He goes, "I know where Peoria is." Wow. I went, "You do?" "Yeah." He says, "Do you know of Navigators?" That's what he had first thing, and that's what he asked me. And I said, "Well, we use Navigator material." I said, "Our little church, we're a disciple-making church." And he says, "What's your name?" I said, "John Denler." He goes, "Spell your last name for me." I said, "Denler." He said, "Are you related to Gene Denler?" I said, "Yeah, he's my third cousin." Gene Denler was a navigator.
Interesting.
In the Philippines, in Manila.
Interesting.
He said, "I worked with Gene in the office at Navigators. I'm a navigator." And I went, "Wow!" And everybody going, "What did you do, find a relative?" I
said, "Yes." Interesting.
I said, his name was Noel.
Yeah.
I said, "Noel." I said, "What are you doing on this bus?" He said, "I'm leaving Manila. I'm on my way to my barrio." He said, "I am so sick of the hypocrisy in the town. Because if you have an evangelistic thing there, they flock by the thousands, especially if you're giving something away."
Sure.
"Don't give anything away." Okay. So he says, "I'm going to my barrio, the little town that he was from, and I'm going to teach Bible studies there to my family." I went, "That's wonderful." First day, I had asked the night before, "Why am I here? Show me, am I in the right place at the right time?"
Yeah.
He confirmed mine.
Yeah.
And we confirmed his because he was praying for God,
right,
to send people to.
Right.
So,
but that's a story that you remember.
Oh, I can't forget it.
Dave remembers a story. Diane, Mark, they all remember a story. But, and I'm thinking about, I'm thinking about other things. What other stories have had? The one story that I still remember, and I YouTube it today because I thought it was so hilarious. I probably watch it I don't know, once a week, but I watch it pretty often. I go on YouTube and I type in Barney Fife buying a car. Seriously, if you go on YouTube, type in Barney Fife buying a car. He buys this car from this little old lady. Oh, it's only driven on Sunday. It's only never driven over 35 miles an hour. We've changed the oil, whatever. And she just embellishes this thing. Of course, Barney, you know Barney from watching Andy Griffith over the years. Oh, Andy. And of course, you know, Andy's saying, you know, you ought to think about this, Barney. You ought to think about this. And of course, he buys a car. And of course, Andy's in it and is... And forgive me, I can't think of Barney's girlfriend or whatever. Thelma Lou, thank you. They're in the car, and I think it might have been Sunday or whether they're all dressed up. And all of a sudden, the center of the steering wheel starts coming out of the thing, okay? And Andy, of course, you know, Barney's expression on his face is, you know, those eyes, and it's like, you know. And then Andy looks over from the passenger seat, and of course, the thing droops like this. Of course. And then, of course, his friend Gomer at the gas station checks it out, and there's sawdust in the transmission, and there's this and there's that, you know. But the point is, I don't know about you, but how old? That had to be 30, 40 years ago when I saw that. All I'm seeing is that stories impact us, don't they? Okay? My dad was a superintendent of manufacturing at Caterpillar in Mossville. Okay, he had a guy that was an unbelievable. If you ask my dad about Delper Jackson, my dad would say Delper Jackson was a genius. Okay, but Delper Jackson would never work a Saturday because he watched cartoons on Saturday morning. Okay, but my dad said that that guy would come in sometimes on Monday and tell my dad stories. And my dad said there were times I'd double over and I wish I had stayed home on Saturday morning and watched cartoons. But really, think about it. The point of this today is stories impact us, don't they? They impact us. They mean something to us. We remember things for years because of John had an experience in the Philippines. You know, others, Dave had an experience. You know, we all have experiences, don't we? I mean, I think if I gave you a few more minutes, you could come up with a story that's impacted you. Every one of us. More than one, maybe a lot. Okay? I had a great dad. My dad was a fantastic man. Okay? Christian man. Loved me. Loved my mom. Okay? But I was a guy in junior high and high school that was on every basketball team and every football team in those years, okay? But I never played. I was one of those guys that sat at the end of the bench all the time, okay? And even when it came time for the last game of the year and some coaches would put their bench players in the last minute or two, well, that didn't happen, okay? So Randy Rutledge, who is one of my best friends, who never got to play either, okay? The last game of the season, our senior year, Randy goes, I'm not going to wear a jersey under my warm-up. I said, Randy, what if you get in? He goes, we never get in. Hutch, what are you talking about? We sit the bench every game. Randy goes, I'm not wearing my jersey. I said, well, what if Cruiser, the coach, comes down and puts you in? It's our last game. We're seniors. He ain't playing us. And sure enough, the last minute or so of the game, Cruiser come down and told us both to get in. And why do I remember this expression, this story? Because it impacted me years ago. Randy takes his, you know, he had those snaps. He takes, unbuttoned those snaps, and he's got a bare chest here. And if you could imagine a coach in a basketball game, it's supposed to be focused. I still remember John Cruiser, our basketball coach's expression on his face. He actually doubled over like this. And when he came back up, he was laughing so hard, he couldn't even get back to the bench to sit down, you know. And then afterwards, I remembered Cruiser came up to Randy, and I always was right next to Randy in a locker room, and he said, you know what? He goes, I have never seen anybody do that in my lifetime, and I've coached for 30 years. And he goes, not to wear your jersey. He goes, what caused you not to wear? Listen, Coach Cruiser, you never have played me 5 minutes this whole year. Why in the world are you going to play me for 1 minute of my last game of my senior year? You know, but that's a story I remember. Again, my point is stories impact us, don't they? They impact us, okay? Now, let's just look on down here. And it says as we love stories. A good story has the power to move you, to move us. A good story taps into our longings and our desires. You know, I told some of you in here, maybe if you've been in my class, I know Jack knows this, Ben knows this, Dave knows this, but maybe some of the others don't know this. I'm a nonconformist. If you've ever been in one of my classes, or Jack and I are good friends, we talk quite often, Dave and I are good friends, I'm a nonconformist, okay? Can you tell me, you want to talk about God's providence, why did God, under God's providence, did I get born into a family that a father is an engineer? That's a detailed person. That's a structured person, okay? My dad and I had a lot of disagreements and arguments in my lifetime. But I do know this, my dad loved me, okay? My dad loved me, okay? We had some people that lived on the same street in East Peoria from me that took me skiing, downhill skiing a couple of times at little places. You know, Lake Geneva, Dubuque, Iowa, and I loved it. Absolutely loved it, okay? Some of you may have heard this story before, Jack and Ben and Dave and some class I've taught, okay? I bugged my dad for days on end that I wanted to go skiing in Colorado. Dad, take me skiing in Colorado, okay? Christmas, when I was 16 years old, my dad gave me an envelope. It was Amtrak tickets out of Chillicothe, round trip to Aspen, Colorado. And I said, oh, Dad, so we're going to Colorado? He goes, no, you're going to Colorado. And I said, by myself? By yourself. And he said, you only get to make one phone call a day. He goes, Mark, you've wanted to do this for over a year. Figure it out. I went to Aspen and skied for 4 days at 16 years old. Okay? I will remember that story my whole lifetime. Again, I'm not trying to be redundant here, but we remember stories, don't we? We remember stories. They impact us. Okay? Now, we're going to watch a video here on some more training.
Amazing the power of a good story. How good stories capture our imagination through books, or maybe it's a movie we go to, or a play that we attend. And it is also amazing how we invest ourselves emotionally into the characters and the dialogue. We laugh, we cry, we get scared, and the story is not even true. My wife being here loves to watch great Christmas fact is a wonderful life. There's a scene when George Bailey's Uncle Billy accidentally leaves the $8,000 into the antagonist character, Mr. Potter, which will bring George to despair. My wife each year doesn't want to watch that scene. I'm sure oftentimes has even left the room because she can't bear to watch it. In the story, it's not even a true story. But the story is so well crafted and the characters are so well defined that it makes you think that it is real and evokes real emotions within a second. The Christmas Carol, each year millions of people watch it. And it's not true, but it seems to be true. So true that it makes us well with emotion. What J.R.R. Tolkien said, this is called secondary belief. It's not true. But the story seems so real that it seems so true to us, and emotions are brought out. A good story will tap into the longings and desires of the heart. And in any good story, the plot line at the beginning you're introduced to the characters, the protagonist, that would be the good guy, the antagonist, that would be the enemy. And then as the story goes along, some type of conflict is going to arise. The third part of the story is when the hero comes in, and he's going to resolve the dilemma. And then the last part is what we call the resolution, is when the conflict is resolved and they all live, as we've heard from our early fairy tales as children, happily ever after. Now take a few minutes with your small group and share your favorite story and why it's your favorite story. Maybe share how that story has brought out different emotions, or how a particular story, maybe not even true, has changed.
But again, we have stories. They impact us, don't they? They impact us. We've all had life experience here in this room that's impacted us, haven't they? You know, whatever that might be, work, family, extended family relationships. Even if we go back to, I know all of us remember school experiences. We all have experiences, okay, that were positive and they were negative, but we remember them, don't we? And that's the power of a story. Look down at the bottom, Cosper's quote. Storytelling doesn't aim at a rational mind. It aims at the imagination. A much more mysterious and sneaky part of us ruled by love, desire, and hope. What has made Disney so unbelievable and have a lifespan that's gone on and on? What is it about Disney?
Magical.
It's magical. It transforms us, doesn't it, Julie? Mm-hmm. Wherever we're at, you know, I mean, well, you've gone to Disney World or Disneyland or watched their movies or what? I mean, they're the imagination that it has, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
My cousin used to work there, and he said, "Yeah, most of you guys probably already know this, but I personally am not a big Disney person, but." He said that if you're dressed up as Cinderella and you need to go out of your little area, you cannot go to another area. You have to go underground because there's a whole city under there. You have to go underground, change into your normal clothes, and come back up in the other area that you cannot cross the areas that you're assigned to.
Yeah, but that imagine. Go ahead, Mark. You were saying.
Well, I was going to say that I heard a pastor say one time years ago, that every great story is based somehow on the life of Christ.
Yeah.
And what Disney did was he'd buy the rights to the classics, classic children's stories that were, you know, timeless,
yeah.
You know, where it was evil versus good and the good wins. And I mean,
yeah.
Whatever story, you know, Cinderella,
yeah.
any of them.
Yeah. I mean,
a picture of Christ somewhere in a great story.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know about you, but my wife loves the Hallmark Channel. Now, we know what every movie is going to end on the Hallmark Channel, don't we?
Yeah.
We know how it's going to end. But we still like it, don't we? We still like that ending, you know. Okay, I want to ask you a story. I want to ask you, I don't know if this would be, I'm going to say it could be a negative story, which I'm not trying to turn negative in this room. But how many of us have enjoyed the experience of buying a car? Is that a real, I can see everybody's jumping up and down now being so excited about their experience of buying a car. Is it, I don't know about you, but my experience with buying a car is one that I dread. And I don't know why, but I heard a story, or not a story, I heard a talk a number of years ago by John Bierce from John Bierce Ford, okay? And he said, of course, the methodology and the psychology of buying a car, you know, why wouldn't Ford Motor Company know about that and studied it for years. The way they trained their salesmen, the way they trained, the way they got you into a dealership, okay, and got you to sit down and got you, you know, how nice of a person you are and all this, you know. And I'm almost positive I have this statistic right, that 7 of 10 people that walk into a car dealership will buy a car that day. That just seemed highly, because John, I remember John Bear said that Ford Motor had done enough studies that they knew if somebody walks out of that dealership without buying a car, they're probably not going to come back to that dealership. They may buy a car, but they may buy it somewhere else. Okay? So we all are so excited about when we have to go buy a car, right? It's such a wonderful experience. In fact, you want to invite the salesman over to your house for dinner, don't you? You know? But my point is, there's a negative experience that we've had. Now, maybe I'm not saying that every experience on a car has been negative, but I'm saying that it's almost like, to me, I shouldn't say this, but I probably would rather go to, certainly I could say this, I'd rather go to my wife, who's a dentist, and have my teeth worked on, because I know Karen's the gentle dentist. But my point is we have stories that impact us. That's the whole point of this chapter this morning. We have stories that impact us, okay? A Bible story that impact us, okay? I was a member of Toastmasters for a number of years. Yeah, I don't know if you know anything about Toastmasters, but Toastmasters is a speaking group that trains you to be a better public speaker. And it's not just about public speaking. It's about just speaking one-on-one or speaking to a small group like this, okay? I mean, I thought it was a fantastic group, okay? And it was fun because, the stories and the speeches that our group would do every week, or not every week, every other week, okay? I think we had a group of about 18, and every 2 weeks you met, somebody was going through a book to go up, and, I even went to a storytelling contest that Toastmasters had in Bloomington one time. It was just a fascinating thing. Well, again, stories capture us, don't they? Okay, we'll go home tonight and watch, Hallmark, 60 Minutes, whatever. But there's something that will capture us on those, right? 60 Minutes will capture us. Stories on Fox News will capture us. But stories in the book of the Bible capture us. So that's the point. As we go about sharing our experiences, stories, on page 6, stories transform us. They make us into something that we can live in a fantasy land for a while. Our son Jonathan, who's 26, got a pair of cowboy boots when he's 5 years old. Okay? For the longest time, I want to say 3 years maybe, that kid wanted to be a cowboy. I mean, he'd wear them cowboy boots all the time, you know. And, of course, we got him a cowboy hat, and my mom made a vest for him, okay. And that kid, seriously, I think for 3 years, when he heard stories, he wanted to be a cowboy, okay. Transformed him, okay. But it transformed us. Think about your experience in accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. It transformed you, doesn't it? I don't know if you heard the message this morning that Kevin Sauter had. You'll hear it in the second service. But, you know, his point is that by true repentance, it transforms us into more Christ-like, into a walk, you know, with Him. That's what stories do. And as you share, and each one of us has a story about our personal experience with Jesus Christ that we can share. And that's all it is. You know, my experience in New York City last year, my experience with those two girls Thursday morning, were nothing more than sharing the story. Why does it work? Because we like stories. It captures our heart and our mind. You know, why do I sit down and veg at this time of the year on NCAA basketball? Because I like that experience. I like that, those storylines, you know. I don't know if you know anything about it, but I certainly feel sorry for that boy, that player from Michigan State that got his finger wagged from his coach in his face. You know, what a terrible experience, you know. But that's a storyline, you know, that changes us, you know. So think about your story, you know. Sometimes it's a bad one, but you know what? Maybe there's some positive that comes from that. You know, my best friend grew up two doors down from me in East Peoria, okay? I had a great family home life. My parents were both believers. My sister and I were raised in a Christian home, grew up in a Christian church, had a great experience. My parents are great people, okay? Tell you one quick story I remember about my dad. My dad loved to fish, okay? I don't mind fishing, but my dad would, if he wasn't working, he would love to go fish, okay? So I was probably 23, 24 years old, and I hadn't fished with my dad in a couple years, and so my dad wanted to go fishing. And it was a Friday night. He wanted to go to Spring Lake down by Manitou. I don't know if you know where it's at. And my dad had a boat. My dad had a motor, outboard motor all the time. And so unfortunately, this particular Friday night, he didn't get out of Cap Mossville at the time he wanted. So it was probably, and it was summertime, so, you know, it doesn't get dark till late. And so we didn't get down to Spring Lake until, you know, it was late, okay? My dad's in a hurry, and my dad says, and we didn't use his boat that time. We just took his outboard motor and rented one of their boats. So he says, take the outboard motor out of the back of the car and put it on the back of the boat. So I did. I did exactly what he told me to do, okay? So we loaded all the fishing gear in. My dad gets in the back of the boat, pulls the cord to start the motor, and the motor starts, but the motor goes up in the air, flips around a couple times, and went down into the water. Okay? Why do I remember that story? It impacted me. So, of course, my dad, being the dad that I had, okay, my dad takes a boat oar, and he's going down there. Of course, at close to the shoreline, the water wasn't that deep, okay? So he fits it, and he finds his motor. Excuse me. So he reaches down in there, gets out of the boat, goes down in there, reaches down in there, and gets it, and the thing is still running, okay? But I remember that story. Why do I remember that story? And, again, my only point is, remember the stories that have impacted your life. Remember the fact Jesus Christ impacted our life, didn't he? And changed us. Okay? Very good. Let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Father God, thanks again for this time to come together. And help us, Lord, to understand that stories impact. And it's stories about our life that we can share with other people that how Jesus Christ has changed our life. So, go with us today. Go with us this week. May we just be Christ-like in everything we do as we walk with you this week, Lord. In Christ's name, amen. Now, I'm going to give you a week off, okay? So I'm going to give you a week off to work on your story, okay? Can you do that, Dave, in a week?
I want to end up my story about the $20.
Yeah?
I've learned from that that is not my money. My money is my money. Now, I count the offering in church, and I don't even... Sometimes we've had ushers that talked about, as we're carrying the money back in, we'll split this up later. I don't like that kind of talk. I don't want any thought of impropriety when the money's being counted, or the people there, they're counted, and it's not my money, it's the Lord's money. These people work hard for this money they give, whether it's a dollar or $20 or whatever. That's the Lord's money, not mine. I count it only. And I have in my life, I divide my money and the Lord's money or your money. It's not all mine that I can get my hands on.
Sure. No, the reason I'm going to give you the week off is I'm going to be gone next Sunday to men's retreat up in Miracle Camp. So I'm going to give you a week off. So the next week we'll do two in that one day. Okay?
Are you going to be fishing out there?
No, I think it might be too cold to fish. But I am looking forward to the zip line. I like the zip line. Why don't you drink coffee and tell each other stories? Okay? Dave probably has... Yeah, there you go. Bring in a Disney movie, your imagination. There you go. Okay, thanks, folks. Appreciate it. Have a good week.